Hey, don't forget to check out our great sponsors at soscustomtees.com. It's the only place to get official merchandise of the Double Dropkick Show. That's right, soscustomtees.com.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
You just ask the questions, and I'll answer them, and then everybody will think you're a genius.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And welcome to the Wrestling Podcast, where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. And this is one of those episodes we always come together after a couple of weeks of being apart. And we just talk about some things that are on our minds. And before we do that, we want to invite you to check out our sponsor, soscustomtees.com. And also, all you got to do is click on the menu and go to the Double Dropkick Show store, the Double Dropkick Show t-shirt, the official t-shirt. You can get your t-shirt, you're a Double Dropkick Show guy or gal. We got my favorite t-shirt, which I'm getting one this weekend, the quote shirt, "Life's Too Short to Watch Bad Wrestling," by Mark Whitman. And then on a personal note, the Team Mulliken Huntington, Fight Against Huntington's Disease t-shirt. So thanks to our good friends over at SOS Custom Tees for all the work.
Our friends and yours.
That's right.
Not just us, though. They got a lot of other guys. Anthony Genazzo and Tracer X. I did look at
Yes,
he is.
You were right.
I know I was right. Listen, if I say something, it's right. I've already fact-checked it. You're the one that's like, I don't know if he's on there or not. I do know he was on there. I already knew it.
Well, I do want to say this. Like, this is one thing I really appreciate about soscustomtees.com. They are not – when a wrestler is working with them, or let's say a podcast is working with them, you and I are not sitting here today, and we haven't made our Christmas order of shirts, but we're not going to sit here recording our podcast wearing an SOS custom t-shirt. Like, they don't make their wrestlers, hey, you're with us, go wear SOS. No, Tracer X wears a Tracer X shirt. Right. Unlike some other companies, they're like, hey, we'll sponsor you, wear our stuff. And
actually, the difference between our sponsorship and their sponsorship
is we're actually the money's in the bank.
Right. There's a partnership between the two companies, the Double Dropkick Show and SOS Custom Tees.
Yes. Yes.
And I wouldn't say shop with them if I didn't actually, I mean, you know, you hear me acknowledge products that I use.
That's correct. That is correct. You know, you and I have the Unbookables t-shirt.
And we're going to be doing a little commercial for them. I brought my Unbookables t-shirt today.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to shoot a video for them.
Nice. Okay. Well, I need to go get mine then. It's over at the house.
Yeah, that's true. Really?
We're going to be filming some other commercials here today. But anyway, hey, make sure you check them out. When you buy a shirt, support our sponsor, you support our show.
Yeah, support us, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fine with me if you buy yourself a Breakfast Club t-shirt.
Yeah.
But I'd rather you buy a Double Dropkick Show t-shirt.
Right. I talk with SOS Custom Tees proprietor Boomer Payne, and his motto is, why can't we all prosper?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this gentleman, you know, he's always branching out. And listen, they have more than t-shirts. Signed pictures of they've got DVDs. They've got decals. They got everything. One stop shop.
There you go.
Great. And plus, let's say you're watching this and you're like, you know what? I would love to. This is what's great about them. If you're a wrestler, they'll help you design a shirt.
Yes.
They'll sell your shirt on the website. Mm-hmm. So let's say you don't have to you don't have to buy 100 shirts to take to shows and put that money up front.
No.
You can have a few samples and people can order it right off the website. They do all the work. Like, why wouldn't you do that if you're a professional wrestler? And then also, let's just say, you know what? It's my mom's birthday. I want to get a shirt for my mom. Boom. SOS Custom Tees. $20. Customize. Your text here is right there. But more importantly, Double Dropkick show t-shirts. Absolutely. So, speaking of making money, you and I were talking at breakfast today. We went back, harkened back to the old days of the Double Dropkick Show.
Yeah, because it's Christmas, man.
It is Christmas.
It's Christmas in a few days. I texted you last night. Let's go get some breakfast.
That's right. We met a little bit later. We went to Diener's Diner, Diener's Restaurant, had the buffet. It was delicious.
I got the pancakes. I've been looking at those pancakes for 3-4 years now. Never tried them. Got them this morning. Wish I'd have been eating them the whole time.
I
always went with the French toast.
Yeah, the pancakes are good. The syrup is really good.
The syrup is good.
The French toast casserole, underrated.
It is. Might but be there, the, it was so. There, it was all gone today, man.
Yeah,
I couldn't get any.
We got. It was crowded.
Yeah,
it was crowded. But we were, you know, we're talking about making money. That the you know, you were listening to Jim Cornette's podcast. The big story in the last couple of weeks was Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes talking about booking a 10,000 seat arena.
And we had a discussion about it a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And I was like, I pretty much told you if they could do it, they'd be doing it.
Yes.
And if Ring of Honor could do it, and you said, that's not Ring of Honor's business model.
Right, right.
And I said, well, if they could sell out 10,000 seat arenas, I'm pretty sure they'd change their business model tomorrow.
Right. No, that's right. And here, and even in our discussion at breakfast, it opened up my mind to some introspection, because when we were having that conversation, I had just, they had just put out an article about, I guess it was Joe Koff, who's the COO of Ring of Honor, and he was talking about their business model and things like that. So when we were having that conversation, that's fresh on my mind, and he had talked about running smaller venues and why they had done that and different things. And so I think in that moment of responding to you, I was not responding from a logical place. I was responding from, I just read that article. Obviously, I mean, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm wearing a Young Bucks t-shirt, whatever. Young Burke. So I was responding from, and that's what happens with social media. Had I taken a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes to think about a response to what you said, it would have been a lot more intelligent than what I put.
No, I thought what you said was fine. I just.
Right.
I'm not saying that that's not what they do.
That's right. That's right.
What I'm saying is, if they had anybody that could sell 10,000 seats,
yeah,
they'd be selling 10,000 seats.
Yeah.
And they'd change how they do business.
No, that's right.
As I told you, if WWE could sell out the Pontiac Silverdome, or whatever, I guess it's gone now. But,
yeah.
But the Superdome, and if they could sell that out every Monday night, they would.
Yeah, that's right.
They would.
Yeah.
They can't.
Right. And
it takes a lot of promoting to put 10,000 people in a building. It does. That's not an easy. It's not even easy for WWE to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard to do.
I think people just promoting it. Man, getting 100 people. Getting 100 people to show up.
It's not easy as people think it is.
No, you just set up a ring and make a card and people show up, and that's not how it works.
There'll be 25 or 30 people show up just because they like wrestling.
That's right. That's right.
Don't believe me, go over to Elberton, Georgia.
Yeah. Any place in Georgia.
Yeah, go anywhere. You go anywhere, put a wrestling sign out front, and 20, 25 people will show up.
Right, because you're going to have family and friends.
Right.
You're going to have people that – there's been a time or two I've literally seen the sign and stopped.
Yeah.
And went to wrestling.
Right.
But just share a little bit about, I mean, was not just what Cornette said, but your thoughts on what it would take for them to sell out a 10,000 seat arena. And then you actually had a booking plan to do it more than once.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, you give me a 10,000 seat arena in Chicago with CM Punk on top, I could sell that out.
Yeah.
I can promote that shit.
Yeah.
But anybody, hang on.
Yeah.
I was trying to spit my tobacco out because your setup was done, but you kind of got done a little quicker than I thought you would. So, but like anybody could do that. And Brian Danielson and Cornette said this. I had already kind of thought about those two guys. Not just me. I think everybody knows.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys.
Right.
That you'd have to be looking at to get to sell 10. And you could.
Yeah.
With those guys. But Cornette said something really interesting I had never thought about, that he thought Punk was a bigger draw than Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. And he explained why. And his thought was that it is because we've been conditioned for the past 2 or 3 years to know that that Brian's going to wrestle again. So not only are you going to get the chance to see him wrestle, you're probably going to get a chance to meet him. You're probably going to get – he's going to make a tour when he's done. Everybody knows it. It's inevitable that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's begging to be fired.
Yeah.
Every time he put a mic in his hand.
Yeah.
He's begging him to fire him.
Right.
If you don't see that, you ain't listening to some of the words that are coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
But we've also been conditioned to think that Punk's never coming back.
Yes.
So if you say Punk's coming back one time in Chicago, 10,000 people are going to show up.
Yeah.
So anybody can do it once. But if you put Daniel Bryan in the semi-main event, and then he comes out and attacks Punk,
right?
And now you got that main event, you can do three more shows.
Yeah.
You can go to New York and do a show.
Yeah.
You can go to, I won't, maybe not the West Coast.
Yeah.
But definitely maybe Atlanta.
Yeah.
Somewhere like that. You can do a show. And then the fourth show, you go back to Chicago. And that's the big blow off. And,
yeah.
And you know that you've cast Brian as the villain. You cast Punk as a baby face. And I know maybe that, why would you do, why? Because CM Punk naturally is the heel.
Yes. Yeah.
But I want to sell out the arena twice in Chicago.
Right.
And I want the people to play their role.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I, you know, you cast it, and all, the storyline's so simple that Brian's like, I've been held hostage for 2 years.
Right. No, right.
Wanting to wrestle.
Yeah.
And they won't let me, and they were willing to give you the world, and you walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think that the way wrestling fans are now, CM Punk could come back the first night and shoot a puppy on live TV, and people would like they're
right.
People want to pop right. For this guy,
right? So it's you're going against the grain. It may not seem like it because they're personalities, but you absolutely are going against the grain.
Yeah,
to cast him as in the villain role.
I think I was hoping. I did not watch a lot of Clash of the Champions. I watched the tag team match with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus Nakamura and Randy Orton. And I watched AJ and Jinder Mahal. And I was watching because I was thinking something would happen with Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. And I hope that if Daniel Bryan comes back, that his WrestleMania match ain't with Shane McMahon.
Why is that?
Because I know that, you know, that's a really good question. Because I want to see Daniel Bryan Nakamura. I want to see Daniel Bryan AJ Styles. Uh-huh. Maybe I'll get that later on.
Right.
Maybe that's the smart play. Maybe the smart play is for him to wrestle Shane McMahon in WrestleMania.
Why is that?
Because he'll shine against Shane McMahon. Like, it'll be very clear. I mean, but Shane McMahon will do his crazy bumps, but I don't think he's going to hurt him. I mean, I don't think he's going to – I don't know, man. You're, like, twisting me up. I don't like
it. I haven't done anything. I just ask you what your opinion is, and you're afraid to give it because you think I'm going to tear it to shreds.
No,
so what's your opinion?
Here's the thing. To be honest, I don't –
You think like a fan. You're
I don't
thinking
know
about
I,
it as a
I just want him to come back.
Right.
I just want the guy – number one, I would want the guy to be healthy. I don't want him to come back if he's not healthy, but it seems like – They've found out, you know, he'll be all right. But then I'm thinking, even as a fan, okay, let's say he's fine to come back and gets a concussion.
Right.
I mean, that's a disaster.
Right.
That's a PR disaster.
Yes.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? That's part of the intrigue is we don't know. There's no spoilers. Nobody knows
right.
What's going to happen.
Right. I'm afraid that they're just continuing to tease something that's not going to happen. Yeah. I haven't been watching it, but I do follow what the storylines are. But I think just what people always – like you said, I don't want to see him against Shane McMahon. I hope it's not against Shane McMahon. And you don't think about it the way that they think about it.
Yeah.
In their mind – it doesn't matter if anybody on that card has what Dave Meltzer would call a 5-star match. It doesn't matter.
Right.
to Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
In their mind, being in a match with Shane McMahon is a marquee position.
Yeah, no, that's true.
With that company. Whether you would rather see him face Nakamura and have a 5-star match is not a concern to them.
Mm-hmm.
Their thought process is if you're involved in something with involving a member of the family, that's a big deal. That's
right.
A marquee that's the main event position.
That's the highest praise we could give you.
Right. Right.
That the owner who would not let you wrestle is now saying, "Hey, wrestle my son."
Right. So for them, it's a big deal if they put him in there. It's just like why they send Triple H to India because Jinder Mahal ain't drawing.
Right.
Like they thought he would. Or why when they had that show down in South America, wherever it was, and Owens and a couple of guys had something come up and they couldn't be there, they sent Triple H to replace it.
So did you hear the interview with Triple H? They asked him, well, why did you beat Jinder Mahal? And his – maybe it was you that shared it or somebody shared it. Mm-hmm. It made – he's like, listen, it's like we never go to India. Nobody – like – people follow the product, but people know me.
Yeah.
I'm over. It's like, so if I go over and I just Jinder being in a match with me elevates him. And to the fans in India, it wouldn't make sense to them for Jinder to beat me.
Yeah. Because Triple H is a big established main event act.
Right.
And it's just like the perfect example. That's the reason Sting didn't need to beat Ric Flair at the first Clash of the Champions.
Right.
Because just going out.
Yes.
And just having a competitive match and kicking out of a couple of big moves.
Yeah.
And almost beating Ric Flair.
Right.
Almost beating Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Made Sting a star.
Yes.
He didn't have to beat Ric Flair.
Yeah, that's great.
That's not the first act of a play.
Yeah.
The first act of Die Hard is not John McClane throwing Hans Gruber off the building. That's the finale.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta Frankenstein's gotta kill some villagers to get over.
Right. So to me, what you just said, as you're saying that, Hulk Hogan said himself on the 30 for 30 about Ric Flair, that Flair was the best. Because you can't say that about anybody in Hulk Hogan, what you said about Sting.
Right.
Sting got over. Sting's career was made by wrestling to a draw with Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Nobody could – you wrestled Hulk Hogan. Wrestling a draw with him, it didn't elevate you at all.
Well, if you were going to wrestle a draw with him, it'd have to be like a 15-minute time limit.
Right. That's right.
But I still contend that Harley Race was even better than Flair.
Yes.
But nobody knows it. And it all comes down to one conversation I had with one guy.
Uh-huh.
And I've probably told it before.
Right.
A friend of mine saw Harley Race and Paul Jones at the Anderson Rec Center when he was, you know, a teenager or whatever. And he said, man, they told us Harley Race was going to be there. And we were like, man, Harley Race is the world champion.
Right.
And blah, blah, blah. And he's going, how great is he going to be? And he said, and this is a grown man that said this to me.
Yeah.
He said, and then he got in the ring with Paul Jones, and Paul Jones just showed him up.
Yeah.
And Harley couldn't do nothing with Paul Jones. Right. And he had to cheat to beat him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, I just didn't see what the big deal was about Harley Race because Paul Jones should have beat him that night.
That's awesome.
That's why Harley was the best.
And that's why people would come back. And that's the lost art of wrestling is there's nobody to come into your territory and put your guy over that will get your guy over. Does that make sense?
Except for Triple H, who did it in.
Right.
A Triple H can do that. A Triple H did it with Ric Flair in Greenville how many years ago?
Yeah.
He did the same thing. When everybody thought Flair was done, I remember watching that match on TV.
Yeah, I was there, man.
And I'm a grown man.
Yeah.
And I said, Ric Flair's going to beat him tonight.
That's right.
I was thinking it.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Triple H is very, very underrated. He's a guy that I have learned to appreciate. I don't like how heavy-handed he can be sometimes with the badass thing that he does sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think he's mellowing out a little bit as he's gotten older. He's starting to gets it. I mean, he's in a different position now.
That's right.
Yeah, he's just in a different position now. And he's doing what he's being told to do a lot of times. But
yeah.
But yeah, he's great. Triple H is great.
Yeah, let's like, yeah, he is.
And whether you like him or not, he gets a pop when he comes out.
That's right. Oh, how many good other night.
Guys? He gets a bigger pop than anybody else on that show.
Yeah.
Maybe except for The Undertaker.
Yeah.
He gets a bigger pop than anybody.
Yeah. To me, a lot of the whatever complaints about Triple H, the fact that the 2 year series he had with Undertaker.
It's good stuff.
I mean, that match they had in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
It was one
honestly
of the
saved a terrible show.
Right. It was a terrible show. Mm-hmm. But then you go back and you look at the talent on that show, and you're like, how was this?
That's because you put a kid in the main event of that show.
Right.
He's not.
In fact, 10 years too soon.
Yeah.
He was not ready for prime time.
He wasn't ready for that spot.
He
could probably redo that now. And
yeah.
I think he'd be successful in that role.
That's the only thing, you know, memorable about that match. So you'd try to get four shows out of.
Uh-huh. I would.
I think
put Punk in the main event the first night in Chicago.
Yeah,
Brian attacks him, and then you go around and you finish up classic. It's not reinventing the wheel. It's the way wrestling used to be done 50 years ago. It's a 3-match series. You set it up.
Yeah.
And then you have a 3-match series.
Right, right. So would you do that over, let's say, February is your match in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
When's your second match?
You could almost do it over a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have 4 months in between each show because it gives you time to promote the show in that market.
Dude, and what if CM Punk played Apollo Creed? There ain't going to be no rematch. What if CM Punk said, I came back one time, and Brian is just goading him and goading him and goading him. And CM Punk's like, no, man, I'm done. I came back, and, you know, I'm so appreciative to the fans. And
right, you know, and that's when Brian attacks.
Yeah, he just keeps going on until he pushes him to the breaking point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would – see, I'm already – I would buy that.
I know you would.
I would buy that. And you would come watch it after I bought it.
Yeah. Oh, you'd let me borrow your password and I'd check it out.
That's right.
I mean, I booked it, so I already know how it's going to finish. I don't have to watch it.
Yes, that's right. And would you, with something like that, well, you're trying to make money. So, you mean, you could stream it. You could do, I mean, you sell it, all, you know. And then at the end, you got a DVD compilation of the whole series.
Right. You can partner with Ring of Honor to do that show and have them play their little angle out on the Ring of Honor shows.
That's right.
So you don't have to sell these big arenas, but it still gives you some clips.
Yeah.
Of it, and, you know.
And then you got people paying to go to your smaller shows and your TV tapings just because, man, Daniel Bryan may come out and cut a promo.
Right, right. And you don't announce when it's going to happen. You don't let them – you don't smarten people up. Bryan's going to be at this show.
Yeah.
Or Punk's going to be at this show. But they would know. I need to get a ticket because they might. You don't promise it. You don't promise them anything. But if somebody happens to show up.
So would you do this? Let's say they're having a show in Atlanta. They run Atlanta. And they've actually, since they've been running Atlanta, they're now running a little bit center stage. So you have Daniel come out in like early in the show, cut a promo, and in intermission you say, hey, after the show, he's signing autographs, $25. Go get your tickets now. Oh, man, you sell. I mean, you'd be there till 2 o'clock, but, I mean, people would pay. People would pay, and then because you didn't know it ahead of time, you know, I got to go to this show because there's a slim chance not only am I going to see Daniel Bryan, and that's the one thing I love about Ring of Honor is they always do a great job with their meet and greets.
Yes.
Before before the show. And for people that you can say whatever you – I know what I've seen. People can say whatever they want to about the Young Bucks. And I'm just talking about in comparison to other things. Their line is always by far the longest line at those signings. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to shows where there were literally guys sitting next to them that had nobody.
Right.
Nobody coming to see them. Mm-hmm. And you almost felt bad because you're standing in line going by their table. And it's just crazy.
I got to be honest with you. The Young Bucks are kind of played out for me, man.
No, I got you.
It was already heading that. Like, I quit buying. You know, I used to watch PWG.
Yeah.
All the time. And I'm pretty – like, the last DVD I bought, I think, was the one when – I don't think the Young Bucks were in the match. They could have been.
Yeah.
But they did that slow motion deal. And that was it. I was like, well, I'm not – it's not the wrestling that I like. If that's what you like, that's cool.
That's right.
You know, if you want to make fun of it and you want to – quote unquote, you know, like laugh along with them or whatever they're doing. That's cool. If that's what they got to do to make money, that's on them. Because here's the
right,
fact, man.
Right.
If you're 5'6" and you don't look like you, and you look like a kid,
yeah,
and you don't look like a physical threat,
yeah,
and you don't look like I'm not afraid of them,
yeah,
I don't, you know,
right.
I'm afraid of Brock Lesnar.
Yes,
I'm afraid of Stan Hansen. I'm afraid of Bruiser Brody.
Yeah,
I ain't afraid of the Young Bucks.
That's right.
They're not a threat to anybody. So they have to rely on tumbling because they can't get over on being physically intimidating.
Right.
Not whatever they got to do to make money. They're making money. More power to them.
Right.
I'm just done with it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see people doing phony hand grenade spots and spots where somebody stops time and, you know, I just don't want to see it. And Pro Wrestling Guerrilla got into doing that, so I'm not going to support them anymore.
Is it the same thing? I remember late 80s, and I can't remember the name of the league, but I just remember a story in Sports Illustrated that a new basketball league was starting, and you couldn't be over 5'8". Huh. It was still going to be 10-foot goals, but all the players were going to be under, like between – it was like 5'8", 5'10". You couldn't be 6 feet, but it was like fairly short.
Right.
And they were just talking about some of the players they were looking at signing and why they were wanting to do it, and everybody was going to be like between – you know, within 3 or 4 inches of each other. Because frankly, if you're a certain height – somebody like Muggsy Bogues. Muggsy Bogues is a 1 in 10 million talent.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. To make the NBA if you're that tall. Spud Webb, same way. Mm-hmm. And it seems like wrestling is going that way too, that, like you said, these guys are not physically intimidating. They're not this. So we're going to create a whole nother genre of wrestling mm-hmm. to make room for all these guys that 20, 25 years ago couldn't make it in the business.
Right, right. You're right. That's exactly what the rest of the business has turned into.
I think your response is not for me.
Right.
Have fun with it.
If that's what you like,
like
yourself out. But it ain't for me.
And you and like what I appreciate about that is you can just walk away from. You don't have to like
yeah, I'm not
hate gonna, it. You right. don't have to downgrade it. You don't have to disparage it.
I don't wish that Joey Ryan would die.
Right.
More power to him, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, make your money, man. Make the money however you got to make the money. That's cool.
Right.
Do your business. But it ain't for me.
That's right.
You know, I'm not going to be buying any of your T-shirts.
Yeah. But other people.
Other people are. And good for you. You got to make money how you can make money, man.
I think that's kind of where we are at in a little bit in the wrestling podcast genre is we're not going to be, we don't have the inside knowledge of a Bruce Pritchard, Jim right. Cornette, Tony Schiavone. You know, we don't have.
It's debatable that Tony Schiavone has any inside right. knowledge about anything.
I threw that in just to get the response from you.
I listened to like 3 episodes of that show, and I was like, I can say I don't know.
and they have,
No, go ahead.
It's like they've run out of things. That now they're doing, again, something that started here, where they're talking over matches and pay-per-views, that started on this show. We were doing that before it was cool.
This is true.
And then Stone Cold did it. He did it over his and Rock's match. Uh-huh. Okay. And now everybody's doing it. And mm-hmm. so we're not doing it now. But I think you and I are trying to find, okay, what can we do in this niche that is so bloated now?
Right.
And I think one thing you and I talk about all the time is just keep it on, keep it on. Because I think we're going to get out of this season where everybody's, you know, where 100 people are starting a wrestling podcast every day.
They're finding out it's not easy. It really isn't. It's a lot of hard work that goes into doing this stuff.
And there's cost involved.
Uh-huh.
There's, you know, equipment to buy, especially if you want to do a quality podcast. Because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and we've had some episodes, you know, where the audio quality, something happened and it wasn't great. But a lot of these shows and Bruce Mitchell's shows on Blog Talk Radio, and this is just me personally, I can't listen to a podcast recorded on Blog Talk Radio because it sounds
like just sitting in a tin can.
That's right. And I just can't. So I don't know where I'm going. I'm just saying, I think you and I are really, you know, we're trying to find that niche of what does that genre look like?
For me, you and I have talked about this, man. I don't want to be famous.
Right.
I don't want to get rich.
Right.
I don't want anybody to ever think, oh, well, Mark's the definitive word on this.
Yeah.
I don't need that. I just want to. Like, I'm trying to be positive. I watch so much of the negative wrestling fans.
Yes.
And it just turns me off, man.
I agree.
Every time I get on Twitter, I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah.
That with 15 followers who have never done anything athletic.
Yeah.
Don't know anything other than the fact that they've, you know, watched WWE the business and that's cool if you in the business.
Yeah.
But like when I got a plumber out at my house, I don't try to tell the plumber how to plumb. You know what I mean? Who, like, you don't know anything about wrestling just because you watched it.
Yeah.
Don't mean you know anything. It don't mean I know anything about it. And I'm not saying that I do. All I am is a dude offering my opinions.
That's right.
About it. What I like and what I don't like. And I think that I understand how it works.
Yeah.
And I've been given feedback from people who are actually in the business that say, oh, yeah, you get how – I don't think I get everything.
Right.
There are things that I'm biased about, just like everybody else. It's like Jim Cornette, as great an insight as he has, he's obviously biased about some things mm-hmm. and towards some people or – that's just human nature, man. You're going to be that, but I don't know.
I think for me, 2017, in not just wrestling and life in a lot of ways, it was a year of discovery. And I'm very grateful for a lot of the opportunities you and I got in 2017, some of the things we got to do in wrestling. But the discovery that I made is that what I thought I wanted to do, which I really didn't get to do fully.
Which was?
Run a wrestling promotion.
Right, right.
What I found out was that wasn't my sweet spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that is really what birthed this whole, you know, South Carolina Wrestling Report for 2018 and trying to just go to as many shows as possible.
Right, I told you this. I don't think it's hateful. Maybe you thought it was hateful when I said it.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't mean it that way.
Uh-huh.
So if I hurt your feelings, I apologize, and I'm going to repeat it again. I ain't talking smack. I'm just saying what I see with my eyes. You are a fan who thinks like a fan with a fan's perspective who might have got wrapped up into thinking he was an expert for a little while.
No, 100% correct. 100% correct. And I think – I think we've conditioned ourselves to almost make it a bad thing to be a fan and think like a fan.
Right. Exactly. That's not a bad thing. But we have conditioned, not we, mm-hmm. a lot of people on Twitter have conditioned yeah. themselves to think that just because they talk about wrestling, it makes them a voice of wrestling,
right.
a wrestling expert, right. and it doesn't.
Right.
And it does. I've never, I'm sure somebody can find clips
yeah.
of me saying I'm some sort of expert. I've never claimed to be.
Right.
That I know of. I just tell you what I think.
Yeah.
Other people call me an expert.
Right.
Other people call me a historian. I don't call myself those things.
Right.
Have I? You know, I'm just not in public.
No,
I'm just
messing with you. But I think what I've tried, what the epiphany that I had that I shared with you at breakfast was that there's a niche there in South Carolina
mm-hmm.
for me mm-hmm. to be me, to
yes.
be a fan,
right.
to be a total mark for everybody.
Right.
And
there's nothing wrong with that, man. And I was like, because we talked about it. You're doing the thing now, and you can expound upon it better than me
yeah.
because I'm not involved in it.
Right, right.
It's kind of your own thing. That's cool.
And part
I got no beef with that. I don't, you know.
And there are several reasons for that. So, you know, one reason is just more downloads.
Right.
I mean, it's a part of the Double Dropkick show. It's not, you mm-hmm. know, it didn't start, you know, my own thing. But I decided I want to go to as many shows. And if I'm going to do that, and again, I'm not going to. This year, unless I am treated poorly at a show, unless I see just some outright, just terrible stuff going on, this is going to be a positive podcast. Like, I'm going to speak positively about every show and match that I talk about. The goal is not going to be, hey, man,
I'm going down here to rip this guy apart.
Right. I'm going to be like, hey, you need to check this out. I want to watch, and we've talked about it. I want to watch every match in South Carolina this year, whether live or on video. I want to see every match. Why do I want to see every match? Just because it's a thing that I want to do.
You're a fan.
And I'm a fan, and I've decided I don't watch on Monday night. I don't watch on Tuesday night. I watch pay-per-views, parts of pay-per-views.
Right.
There is this time void that I want to watch South Carolina wrestling. I am investing the time to do that, and to be positive about it. But also, when I want at the end of the year, I don't want people to say, "Man, Heath's an expert on South Carolina wrestling."
Oh, but you do want them to say that.
I don't, because to me, I don't the expert. But I want them to say, "Man, Heath, you've seen this guy wrestle. What do you think?" Or you know. That when people say, man,
you don't want them to say you're an expert. You want them to exalt you and treat you as one.
Well, I mean, if you're wanting to call me that, I certainly would. I certainly wouldn't call myself that, but I wouldn't stop you from calling that.
But so with that being said,
yeah,
like my focus
mm-hmm.
for next year is I'm probably going to sign back up for the network.
Yeah.
Around Royal Rumble.
Right.
And watch through WrestleMania. And I probably will do that. Just cause, why wouldn't I? That's a big time of wrestling. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And then we'll see where we go from there. But like my focus has been for the past few weeks kind of starting to get back into watching a lot of old wrestling.
Right.
And I found a bunch of wrestling from Portland. And
yeah.
I found wrestling from Houston, Paul Bosch's territory. And I've been watching that stuff. I've been trying to post it in our patrons group when I find these, the Dusty Rhodes Bruiser Brody match that I found.
Yes.
You know, or the Terry Funk Harley Race 2 out of 3 falls match from Houston that I found. I've
yeah.
been posting that stuff in our patrons group. So
right.
if people want to watch it, they can. You know, they don't have to search it out. I kind of search it out and find it for them. And going to be refocused on When's this episode going to air?
This episode will air on a week from 29th, December 29th.
Oh, so it'll only be 3 more days till January 1st.
That's right. Three.
There's a big announcement coming in the Patrons Only group.
Right. So everything Mark just said, this is as good a time as any. Patreon.com/DoubleDropKick. Maybe you're not familiar
with tell them what was going to happen, but I'll be going live in the group on January 1st to make the announcement.
Yeah. So Patreon.com/DoubleDropKick. There's multiple links on the website. Here's what Patreon is. All right. Patreon,
online panhandling. That's what it is.
But back in the day, Leonardo da Vinci, the greats, Michelangelo.
Da Vinci, Michelangelo.
They had
Mulligan.
They had patrons who would pay for them to do certain projects. Mm-hmm. They would support. They would have outside support that would allow them to do to show their creative genius. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're doing. We are.
It's an online tip jar.
It really is. But we give rewards. So right. For a dollar, and these are about to change. So by the time you're listening to this, if you go to patreon.com/doubledropkick, the changes will be there. Here's what I can tell you now. For a dollar a month, you get into that Facebook patrons group. Uh-huh. Patrons only. It's a very small group. It's a select group. Shall I say, it's an elite group of people. Mm-hmm. And Mark, like he just said, he is searching. We're all searching for the wrestling we grew up with. He's finding it. He's sharing it in that group. We're discussing it. And we're discussing it again. This is just me. All right. When you become a patron, you know there's a million Facebook groups out there, including ours, the wrestling you grew up with. All right. And in our group, there's people from all over the world. We talk about all sorts of different wrestling. The conversation in the patrons group is very focused. It is very intelligent. Because it's just us. And we want to grow that. So if you're looking for, man, I need a filter for my wrestling content and conversation. Guess what? A dollar a month will get you that. Right. Mark will be your filter.
Right, right. Well, we'll talk about wrestling, man.
Yeah. And then let's just skip all the rest because we're going to add some mid-level stuff. So $10 patrons. So right off the bat, $10 a month. Right off the bat, you're going to get an autographed picture of a wrestling legend or a current superstar. What we're adding to that is at the end of the year. So first, when you make that first $10 pledge, boom, you're going to get sent an autographed picture. You're part of that patrons group. We're going to give you a shout out on the show. We're going to create extra content just for our $10 a month people. And then at the end of the year, once you've been in 12 months, we're going to send you another autographed picture. Just to say thank you for being loyal for a whole year. And so right now, if you're listening to this, I know Hofer, you're one. There's a couple of other guys maybe. Right now we have three $10 patrons. All right, and you might say, man, that ain't a lot. More than you got. Mm-hmm. More than a lot of people got. That's $30 a month that's helping pay for, basically pays for our hosting, for our audio. So, but all you guys that have been $10 patrons, some of you have been up more than a year, you're going to get another picture. So, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Because I'm generous.
You are.
And you speaking really of generous, are. Thank you for buying my breakfast this morning.
Oh, anytime, pal.
And if you anytime. Become a patron, you can help buy our breakfast. Help buy our breakfast, too.
That's what they say. I ain't seen one red cent of any of this money that we've made.
Well, there's you use that word money we've made, okay? We're still offsetting costs.
Because I feel like it's – I was hoping that you would say that's because I haven't seen one red cent from you for the money we've paid out.
Listen, everybody knows this, and this might be our next t-shirt. I pay you in other ways.
I tell you what I want. There's a picture of Heath and I that I don't know what had happened, but uh-huh. You have a look on your face like, once again, I've been steamrolled by life. I can't believe what's happening here. And I have a look on my face that seems like I am so full of pride that things turned out exactly like I told you they were going to turn
out.
And I think that is – I would like to put that on a shirt. It is the defining picture of you and I, because every time, well, not every time, but here lately, when you text me, you ain't gonna believe this happened, I just like to send you that picture. Yeah. I told you this was gonna happen. You gonna believe it was happening? I told you that's what was gonna happen.
Yeah, Mark oftentimes qualifies as a modern day prophet in his assertion of the various things going on in professional wrestling. So let's continue the conversation, because you asked me, you said, don't you think wrestling's in a boom period right now? It's like, isn't that what you and I said, no, I just recorded a deal. I think wrestling's not in a boom period. Mm-hmm. I think it's a mirage. I think it's one of the greatest works in the history of wrestling. And this is what we were talking about at breakfast. 30 years ago, let's say you had 15 wrestling companies in the United States. And those 15 wrestling companies, let's say on average, they ran 3 shows a week. So that's 45 shows a week in the United States. But 45 shows that all made money. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them made money.
I wouldn't say every single one of them, but I know what you mean.
90% of them made money.
Mm-hmm. Eventually they weren't, or they'd still be in business.
This is true. This is true. But there was a time where they were all making money. Mm-hmm. Now, you could have 200 shows this weekend. None of them make money.
Right, right.
All of them lose money.
Honestly, most of them are run by guys who want to hang around the boys. And they hire the guys that they like. And the guys that they like show up. And they
take a picture with them.
Spend time with them and hang out with them. And, you know.
Yeah.
And then everybody wrestles. And then they go back and work their regular day jobs again on Monday morning.
Right.
And that's my thing. If you can wrestle and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Then that's, to me, the sign that the business is in a boom period.
Yeah.
People can just wrestle.
And you don't mean wrestle full time while sleeping on your sister's couch.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean
you can pay your bills.
Yeah.
I don't mean you eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Or peanut butter sandwiches because you can't afford jelly.
Right.
And like you said, and sleeping on people's couches and stuff. That's not making a living.
Right.
You're not making a living.
Nah.
You can tell yourself you are. You can try to convince yourself you are. But you're not. You're not making a living doing it.
Yeah. But I definitely feel like we're in a period now. So let's say there's 200, golly,
there's probably 2,000 companies.
Right. So let's say there's 2,000 wrestling companies in the United States. If half of them shut down this weekend, there'd be 1,000 more pop up the next weekend.
Oh, God, yeah. And I'm not knocking any. Please don't mistake me knocking anybody who's an independent. I'm not knocking them. Everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yes.
Mick Foley slept in his car, and he's a millionaire.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
I'm just saying wrestling is not paying the bills.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think because we look at it and it's like, well, there's more shows. Man, these posters are really sweet.
Right. Right. These are some cool posters.
And hey,
everybody's got a t-shirt.
And it's because of great people like Ashley at Three Count Design,
mm-hmm.
Who designed our shirts mm-hmm. for SOS Custom Tees. And so you might have a show that draws 40 people and your poster looks like $1 million because you paid somebody. Can you imagine that, Mark? Paying a talented artist.
Right.
So there's this mirage of, I remember we saw some guy, or I saw some guys in Tennessee, and they were showing me some of their stuff on Facebook and some of the matchup videos they did and the effects and everything. And you understand that if you have a little bit of skill in the right program, anybody can do that. But it's like you got a $1 million video and you drew 20 people.
Right.
And so it's just this mirage that everybody thinks wrestling is so healthy as a business. And it is not healthy as a business. And I would dare say the emotional health of wrestling, if I'm looking at Twitter and I'm looking at Facebook and I'm just looking at the bitterness of wrestling fans, mm-hmm. the bitterness of society. Like, everybody wakes up looking for something to hate.
Yes.
And wrestling has fallen prey to that. And that's why I'd quit watching. I don't need to sit here to watch it so I can complain about it the next day.
I watch it because I want to enjoy.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't consume media of any kind to dislike it.
Yes.
So if I don't like it, I just don't watch it. You know why? Because life's too short to watch bad wrestling. You can get a t-shirt that says that much at soscustomtees.com.
Right. And Mark actually posted, life's too short to watch bad wrestling. He posted a good match. I, on the other hand, posted a bad match.
Yeah.
I watched a... Can we just keep on talking? Is that all right? We kind of have a time limit. I mean, not a time. Our time limit is what we can upload. Yeah. But we're good on time. Are we cool to talk about this?
Talk about all you want to talk about, man. We ain't even talked about Jericho and Omega yet. So let's talk about this, then let's talk about that.
Yes. Okay, so I was getting ready to go to bed the other night.
A Christmas present for the folks right here.
Right. Was getting ready for bed, and I was like, man, I would like to watch a movie or something. So I get on Amazon Prime, search for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of old Memphis wrestling that you can watch, lots of documentaries. I found a documentary, Fake It So Real, and it's about a wrestling company in North Carolina. And I watched this thing, and this movie starts on the show is on Saturday or Sunday, but it's the week. The week leading up to what's supposed to be this big show. Mm-hmm. And in this documentary, it was everything I love about wrestling, and it was everything that discourages me about wrestling. And let's talk about the bad first. So there's a young guy in here, and to me, if you want to see you may disagree. We love your thoughts. For me, the foundational, this young man showed the foundational, one of the foundational things that's wrong with professional wrestling today. It's a young man, he's trained to be a wrestler, and all he can think about is his gimmick. And he's talking about his gimmick, and his gimmick makes no sense. He wants to be, his name's Gabriel, so he wants to be Gabriel the Angel, and he's coming out, and it looks like he's doing the beer swig, you know, sign with his hand, but he's like, no, it's a trumpet. I'm a messenger. It makes no sense. And every idea he has is terrible, and he keeps pitching his ideas. He doesn't even know how to work. He doesn't even know anything. And the guys he's talking to, the promoters or whatever, they're like, no, you're thinking about it all wrong. And guys are getting in. They don't know how to do a wrist lock. As Steve also said, don't know the difference between a wrist lock and a wristwatch.
I think that was Gorilla Monsoon that said that. But go ahead.
You're probably correct. You know what? It was actually a gentleman named Arnold McKenzie. Arnold McKenzie, 1945. Okay. It was when Luis Thez was just starting out. And Luthez, you know, was just learning a couple of things. And Arnold McKenzie looked at a young Luthez. This is pre Halliburton briefcase. And he said, you know what, Lou? Louie? You're never going to make it in this business until you know the difference between a wrist lock and a wristwatch. And as a matter of fact, Arnold McKenzie, a lot of people don't know this. He actually gave Luthez his first fake gold watch. And Luthez wore that through his career. So, like a lot of people know, Luthez is known for the fact that he was a shooter. He's known for his Halliburton briefcase, NWA World Champion. But, like that fourth or fifth thing, this watch that Arnold, and it looks so real. People were thinking, here's a young Luthez wearing a $30,000 watch in the 40s. And it was Arnold McKenzie who gave him that. And then that story just kind of became, you know, and then like, you know, chumps like Gorilla Monsoon, you know, just stealing the line, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But Arnold McKenzie, Google that. Put that in your Google machine. Anyway.
And then I think Arnold McKenzie said, now go over to the burrito shack with Pepe.
Pepe, yes.
And he'll show you the difference between a wristwatch and a wrist lock.
Actually, So you may not even know this. So Pepe, where the same place where they were making the burritos is actually where they made the watches.
Makes sense.
That's
it makes sense. That,
you've heard. Please tell me you've heard of the choking incident, Guadalajara, 1961. You've heard this, right?
Tell me, no, I haven't.
They're getting ready for the show. The burrito stand is set up. Kids eating a burrito starts choking. It was like a little gear from one of the watches that got in his burrito. About killed him. His name was Lupe. And no relation to Pepe, but Lupe Sanchez, a young man. All right, so he almost chokes. All right, this is what I say, 1961 Guadalajara. Okay, he grew up to become somebody you may have heard of. You know Mil Máscaras? Okay, not him, but a guy that one time Mil Máscaras was going through the airport in Guadalajara. Lupe Sanchez shined his shoes.
I tell you what, boy.
That's a fact.
You were spinning a yarn today. Drank your bulletproof coffee this morning, didn't you?
I did not. But I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
There you go.
What the crud? That was great.
What happened there, but it was impressive. A little racist, but it was impressive.
What did I say? That was racist.
Just kidding.
Speaking of racist, there's some racism and homophobia in this little documentary. And the probably the scene that got me the worst. So there's a guy, and he still wrestles. A guy named Jay Prep, and he just has a big old butt. He's talking about why his butt's so big and why he thinks and how people bullied him and made fun of him.
He's got a padonkadonk.
He does, and
see that tootsie roll.
And he basically. He basically says, yeah, it makes a racial slur. And it's like, man, I pray to Jesus every night and ask him why he gave me this bud and how can I use it for him? I'm like, buddy, I don't think you get this. I don't think you get either one of these issues. So Jay Prep, they get to the show. He's wrestling a match. He tries to do a dive. Oh, my goodness. And the whole match is terrible, but this dive is like he almost kills himself because he's about 5 foot five and 5 foot five, 230 pounds, and 60 of it is in his butt. And this dive, and so he gets to the back, and everybody's like, because he's hurt. They're like, "Are you all right?" He's like, "I just don't want people to know me for my big butt. I want people to know that I'm a worker." Okay, so that's the second thing. First thing is young guys, and they don't know how to work. They're just thinking about a gimmick that don't make any sense. Second thing is, here's this guy. He spends 75% of his screen time talking about his big butt. Then when he gets to the match, he doesn't want to be known for his big butt. He comes out to the song, "I Like Big Butts and I Cannot Lie." People ain't looking to you to be a Dean Malenko.
Rikishi made it into the Hall of Fame.
Well, this guy does,
yeah. Because he's got a big butt.
And it's like, working don't mean you can do all the moves. Working means taking what you got and using it.
Right.
And, again, it's just, I don't know. And then the last thing was, like, when you talk, hearing the promoters talk, and they're sharing things and stuff, and they're like, "Oh yeah, man, we know we're good at this." And like, and if you run twice a month in a small town and you're drawing, 50, 75 people, more power to you. But if you're having fun and you're enjoying it, and that's great, and you've hooked that crowd and your home crowd is into it and they follow your storylines, they follow your wrestlers, that's awesome. But do not misunderstand your place on the food chain. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Like to think, "Oh yeah, man, I'm really." You might be really good at it in your town, mm-hmm. but I would love for you. I want to actually do an episode where you and I watch the documentary and talk about it, do commentary. Okay. But I found out this company's still running in Lincolnton, North Carolina, with a lot of the same guys. They have a YouTube channel, and I would just like to go up there and just to experience it. As a fan, You know, to be honest, I've watched this documentary. It's kind of jaded me to their product a little bit, you know. But then I see their crowd. The crowd's entertained, so who am I to hate? You know what I mean? They're entertaining their people, giving the money's worth. So, what did I say?
He used to entertain people when geeks bit the heads off chickens, too.
When geeks bit the head off chickens.
Yeah. In the carnivals, the geeks would bite the chicken head off. And,
I thought you were referring to Ozzy Osbourne.
No.
He bit a bat's head off, didn't he?
It was a bat or, yeah, it was a bat or a dove. I can't remember.
And got Ray beat. Boy, he sold that. He worked that whole deal. Talk about working your gimmick.
Yeah. Oh, Ozzy did it, boy.
And then he turns the second in career into like exposing the business.
Yeah.
Expose the business that it was all the work.
Like you and I were talking about, wrestling spent, I mean, how many years
trying to
convince everybody that it was a legitimate sport, and only the Sports Illustrated and ESPN didn't start covering them until they admitted that it was a work, you know?
Right.
It's kind of a weird thing.
So let's move on, Omega and Jericho.
Uh-huh. That was awful, wasn't it? Wasn't that a crappy...
I liked it personally.
Really? What did you like about that?
So the first thing I liked, it shocked me. Mm-hmm. Totally unexpected. Nobody knew. Nobody. When Jericho first appears on the video, mm-hmm. the first time, nobody knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Totally unexpected, which doesn't happen in wrestling a lot. Then the second time.
Nothing unexpected ever happens in wrestling, boy.
Not as much anymore, thanks to spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. Han Solo was dead. Anyway, what are we talking about? I'm trying to defend my position.
Yeah.
Why am I having to defend? Why are you? You never have to defend your position.
That's the difference between you and me. You feel like you have to defend your position.
That's because you interrogate me.
I just said... What did you like about it?
No. That's not what you said. What you said, what did you like about it? That's what you said.
Who cares how I said it? What did you like about it?
I liked it too.
I like to set you up to think that I don't like something, because then I like to see you go, I didn't expect it. It was something I hadn't seen before. I've never seen it.
I got something in my dang contact. It's like making my eye go crazy. Anyway.
You're crying because I hurt your feelings. And you're trying to blame it on something in your contact.
Well, yeah. All right. But I liked – so I'm going to have to be like my great aunt, talk with my eyes closed.
Do we need to pause for a second?
No. Well, listen, we're not like all these other podcasts that pause. We fight through it.
You're going to sit there in pain.
It's like a little speck. It's in my eye. Anyway, I loved it. And then when he attacked him, I loved it. I loved it that he didn't just attack him in a normal wrestling attack. He took it to the next level. I loved it that there was blood. I loved it that he bragged about it. I loved that Kenny Omega came out and attacked him. I loved it that they've got me believing. These guys are going on a cruise together in 6 months. They got me believing right now they hate each other.
Right. They got you believing that it might be Kenny Omega's last match in Japan.
Yes.
They got you believing that Chris Jericho is coming out there to try to hurt Kenny Omega because he attacked his friend.
Yeah.
Not only did he attack Kenny Omega, he attacks his friend. And Kevin Kelly and Don Callis care enough about it that when they're seen, that Kevin Kelly's pushing him through the airport or something.
With a neck brace.
With a neck brace on. He's in a wheelchair. Kevin Kelly's looking all concerned, pushing him. I love that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I love – if you take it serious, people will take it serious. That'll make – they're going to make more money – off of this match, taking it serious than anybody's ever made.
Right.
Anybody has ever made who's ever been involved with one of them grenade spots.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they take it serious.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because here's the thing. Your grenade spot may be a viral video, okay? Mm-hmm. But people remember how Omega... Jericho made him feel.
Yes.
And that's the difference.
And they remember how they made him feel, not because they made him laugh.
Right.
Not because it held wrestling up to being mocked.
Right.
And made fun of.
Right.
But because everybody said maybe for a minute, I don't know about the rest of it, but I'm pretty sure I don't think those two guys like each other.
There were fans, okay, smart fans, allegedly, in a group that I'm in on Facebook, and they were saying things like, I think Jericho went too far.
Right.
And I loved it.
That's it. When he flipped that table, I read somebody else say, did you see, man, he shouldn't have flipped that table like that. He could have hurt somebody. I saw somebody say that. One of these so-called experts
yeah.
that gets on Twitter every Monday night
yeah.
tells us exactly what WWE should be doing and how WWE should do their thing if they really wanted to make money. And then Jericho flips a table, and he goes, he was a little reckless flipping that table. Now, you can't do stuff like that. You'll yeah. hurt somebody.
We used to watch wrestling hoping somebody would get hurt.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, be careful.
Oh, be careful now. We don't want nobody to get hurt.
Yeah.
In this violent, yeah. So, like, when I saw that, I was like, this is great. This is working.
Yeah.
This is going to get over. Because Jericho's taking it serious, and Jericho's great, you know, and he's going to make it great.
And do you think somebody had to go to Callis and Kelly and say, hey, we need y'all? No. They just respect. They know their part,
mm-hmm.
their role in it. And the commentary for that's going to be great. I'll spend $10, subscribe to New Japan World for that month, and I'll watch that, and I'll go back and watch some old Hogan and Stanson. Hogan and Stan Hansen and Muda. I need to go back and watch a bunch of Muda stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, New Japan, that's an underrated streaming service right there. What they've done with the – adding the English commentary to all their shows. I mean, they post all their shows on there. It's not like WWE Network, but it's, to me, it's a better deal for the old content you get
mm-hmm.
than WWE. For me, is good because I like Table for Three and stuff like that. But the non-wrestling stuff. So what's your, this is coming out December 29th, so, you know, Wrestle Kingdom's next week. I'm going to be honest. I know Naito and Okada, which they've done a good job building that up over the past year, and Omega and Jericho. And other than that, I don't know who's wrestling who, and I don't care, and that's okay.
Right. I'm not going to sign up for New Japan World just so I can watch it, but it'll come on Access.
Right. Like the week after.
Yeah, I'll watch it then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's another one of our T-shirts we're going to get, and it's going to be I am Mark, and my shirt's going to say I'm the Mark, and but that yeah that's yeah so I it's a, now that's going to make money. New Japan is in a boom period for them right now.
I tell you what's going to kill their business is Tanahashi's new haircut.
What did he do? I didn't see.
My God.
He's hurt, I thought. Oh, no.
Let me see.
You're speaking as if his old haircut was great.
So how bad do you think it is?
Jiminy Cricket. We're going to put a post of this on the – this will be the picture. Tanahashi. What's his hair look like? Not wanting to load.
Well, I just got to find it.
Well, while you're finding it, why don't I tell everybody where they can find the official Double Drop Kick Show T-shirts. That's at our great sponsors, soscustomtees.com. They've got lots of T-shirts, not just for local wrestlers, but wrestlers. They've just signed with Viral Pro Wrestling in Georgia, signed with Rise Pro Wrestling up in Pennsylvania. You can go on their website. They have year one of International Wrestling Cartel, IWC. You can get DVDs, matches of CM Punk, Chris Hero, a lot of these guys before they went to WWE, before they became huge, huge stars. And you can see them in their early years. You can get T-shirts. You can obviously get our T-shirts, decals, DVDs. Hey, BJ Hancock, Best of 2016 coming out. just came out, and he had a great 2016 in Battle Zone Wrestling, and so a great DVD. And also working on some other projects with SOS Custom Tees, some other...
That's a good picture of it.
Mark is just showing me the Tanahashi.
That one looks a little bit better than the other that's going around.
But that, okay, that looks like a...
Here it is. Here it is.
That's a wig. That's a wig.
That hairdo is a work, my friend.
That's a wig right
there.
It's
got to be, dude. That's awful, man. Look at that.
That's like mid-80s Brian Adidas.
That's what your hair looks like before it gets to the point where it gets long. That's in between being short and long thing.
That's a wig. I'm telling you, that's a wig.
I don't think it is, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because when my hair is in between being short and long, that's what it looks like, and that's why I wear a hat.
No, but I'm telling you, I don't think his hair, the way his hair was, I don't know how he goes from that to that.
I do. Like, I get it. I get it, man.
Oh, my goodness. They either took off too much or not enough.
It's a weird in-between.
Text that to me. So anyway,
and look at the way he's holding the microphone and got his mouth hanging open.
Jiminy Cricket.
This is not a good.
I didn't even know he was the Intercontinental Champion right
this
now.
This is not the most flattering picture.
No.
Of Tanahashi to ever be taken.
I'm glad that in our career there's never been a non-flattering picture taken.
This is true. I'm very photogenic.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And for every time my picture's taken, the camera adds 30 pounds. So SOSCustomTees.com, we're working on some in Carolina Wrestling, working on some one-of-a-kind DVD projects that will be exclusive to SOSCustomTees.com. Double Drop Kick Show or Double Drop Kick.com Productions, working on some things, which I'm really excited. Really just thinking about, you know, what are some things that fans want? Like, fans like hearing the backstage stuff, but like, I think as a fan, I want to hear the stories, you know? So I'm excited. So hopefully, first quarter of 2018, we'll have, the goal is to have that project up and ready to go. Mark's going to be involved with it, but he doesn't know yet, how he's going to be involved with it, but, he is. So I'm excited to share that with him. So, hey.
The Savory Collection.
Yeah. So, 2018, you excited excited.
2016 sucked. 2017 sucked. So, hopefully 2018 is going to be better.
How did it suck?
I saw a great thing. You've seen The Thing, right? With Kurt Russell. The Thing, Kurt Russell.
Yes.
80s.
Yes, yes.
Horror flick that had a picture of him that said he sums up like 2017 perfectly. And it's like MacReady sitting there and he's talking to The Thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it said, none of us really trust each other right now. And we're all really tired.
Yeah. Just perfectly, yeah, I saw sums that. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. That sounds good. But I'm so excited for 2018 because I think I had high expectations for 2017 that didn't quite live up to them. And some of that, you know, just life, and some of that is just stuff that happened, you know, stuff beyond our control.
Yeah.
But I want to take the time to wish you, we're recording this before Christmas, I want to take the time to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays and all the... May you have a wonderful and blessed 2018.
Really offended that you chose to use Christmas.
Really?
And say Merry Christmas to you. That offends me.
Okay.
Happy Holidays.
I'm not offended by Happy Holidays.
I'm not offended by Merry Christmas. I was just picking on you.
My son actually went to a friend's.
I was just trying to be funny.
Well, you know, that was one of the few times you came up a little short. I come up short all the time. Drake actually went to a friend's house, and they're Jewish, and they're lighting a menorah. And And he was talking about it. I said, well, you know, people think that, like, Hanukkah is, like, against Christmas. Jesus actually celebrated Hanukkah. That was, let's not get into all that. But anyway, happy Hanukkah. Happy everything to everybody. Where can they find us on Twitter? I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
I'm going to be honest. I don't check Twitter that often, unless you mention me.
I'm just about done with it.
I don't scroll through Twitter as much.
I used to. I get wrapped up in the negativity sometimes. And yeah. I'm like, oh, somebody's arguing. Because it is. There's a – that's everything. Like, I rarely do I see anything positive.
I do not have Twitter on my phone. I do not have Facebook on my phone. There are days that for a fleeting moment I think about, well, I should – no. I just get on them on the computer or whatever, on the iPad, and – you know, I think that that's helped my mental state, you know, the last 6 months.
Oh, yeah, they've
months.
Done tons of studies on that, this stuff causing so much anxiety in people. I heard a guy talking about being a teenager, you know, that when you were a teenager, like as bad as school might have been for you or whatever yeah. you had going home, for most people, obviously, yeah. you know, there are bad situations for people at home. But for most folks, when they got home, it was a... For a 14 or 15 year old kid, they could take a breath.
Right.
Whatever was going on with the cliques and whatever at school or being bullied, all that goes away when they get to the house.
Yeah.
And they can be themselves and they can be kids. And now they can't even do that.
Yeah.
Like it follows them home.
Yeah.
You know, and they're constantly having to worry about their image and impressing people and looking cool. And that would suck.
Yeah.
Even like we're the same way, whether we want to admit it or not, as grown ups, yeah. we do the same thing. We
yes.
wanna, you know, I try to avoid
showering.
Showering. I mean, I bought a new car a few months ago.
Yeah.
I avoided, let's go post this online and post all these pictures of this so people will see. And I mean, when I went going on vacation, I try to avoid.
Yeah.
Spending too much time recording videos.
Yeah.
Like that was a big thing like when we went on vacation where we were let's take the time to take some pictures.
Yeah.
Let's take the time to shoot a few little videos so we can remember them. But let's put our phones up.
Yeah.
And not watch everything through a cell phone.
Right.
Like I would rather do it. And remember it.
Yeah.
And then we would be like, well, let's go walk through this section again and just shoot a little video for us. So we'd walk through and do it. But then the phones would go up.
Yeah.
We actually put them in a bag so they wouldn't even be in our pockets.
Yeah.
To take out. We had them in a bag that we carried around. So just take away the temptation to look at it.
See, I'm hoping to get a watch for Christmas so I don't even have to get my phone out to check the time.
Nice.
Because I think that's a good idea. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah. I think you're right. Because when you do, you're going to open it up and you're going to flip through and you're going to do. That's a good idea, man.
Maybe we should. Let's go, me and you. Let's do HBK Ric Flair and go get matching watches.
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to get matching Seikos. It's not like we're getting Rolexes or anything.
What if we got like matching Batman watches?
I'm not. First of all, I'm 42. I'm not wearing a Batman watch.
Sometimes I don't even know you. Sometimes I don't even know who you are. What kind of watch would you wear?
I'm a grown man that don't wear a Batman watch. You know that about me.
Well, what kind of watch would you wear?
Probably like just one of those Iron Man, you know, whatever. Not Iron Man as in the comic book character.
Right.
The, you know, what's got the start and the stopwatch and the alarm. You know.
A Seiko.
Whatever. I don't know what you call it.
Would you be getting digital or?
Probably hands. Digital. I don't know.
I used to like digital because I didn't want to take the time to tell the time. Mm-hmm. But now I'm the opposite. I want to have to take
everything,
a breath.
A lot of what I do is military time anyway.
Really?
So I can't wear a watch at work.
Oh, okay.
So it's like that's one reason I don't wear a watch. I don't wear a wedding ring. I can't wear jewelry at work. So I don't have a wedding ring because it would just be constantly taking it on and off.
Oh yeah,
that and I lost it a few years ago and never got another one. But yeah, we can't wear any kind of jewelry where I work at. So
yeah, could you wear one of those like rubberized wedding bands? You can't have anything.
No sir,
they're infringing on your civil rights, I believe. But they pay you well.
That's the problem with the world today. People think that the guy that's giving me money is infringing upon my right, telling me what to do while I'm at work. You know, that's what's wrong with the world today.
Yeah. One of many things.
I mean, you could probably put jewelry on there, and then when you got your arm ripped off because of it, you know, would you consider that infringing upon your rights?
You infringe upon my right to have two arms. So, yeah. All right. Well, hey, again, it's been a great year. We got a lot more to record here today on the 21st day of December. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to talk about little movie. Maybe you heard about it. It just came out. Part of a expanded universe maybe you've heard about, called The Last Jedi. By the time that episode releases, we're not even going to say spoiler alert.
No, spoiler alert, we're saying it right now. Good Lord. If you haven't seen Star Wars by the time this one comes out.
If you haven't seen it, then you don't care about spoilers.
Right, you're not going to care. That's right.
So anyway, hey, thanks for listening to the Double Dropkick Show. DoubleDropkick.com. Hey, subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. You can actually, on the website, you can subscribe via email. And every time we release a new episode, it comes to your email. You can click on it, listen to it there. Listen, we want to be there for you. In your time of need, we want you to be able to find us. When you need positivity, when you need brilliance, when you need to know that there's people out there that care, we want to be there for you. And that's why we're there. Always at DoubleDropkick.com. And as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I am Heath Mullican.
And I am Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.